If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, Tim, good to go when you are.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the Dear Lovejoy podcast, sponsored by Cooker, spelt Quooker, pronounced Cooker. 100 degree boiling hot water straight from your kitchen tap. Today is a weird one. It's just hey, we're here, catch up. It's going to be a bit shorter than normal. Got a couple of emails for you and just a little bit of a chat with Mark. And just a basic catch up. How are you, Mark?
I'm very well, thank you, Tim.
Must be warned, though, there might be some advice on this podcast. And as always, please remember, if you are taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter, which is a horrible idea.
Terrible, horrible, terrible, horrible, terrible.
Really bad idea. I'm a TV presenter. Can you imagine that, right? You go through your life and then you think, I'll tell you what I'll do, is I'll get some advice off Tim Lovejoy, off the Dear Lovejoy podcast. And then you give me advice and then you sit down then one day and you go to your husband or your wife or your partner and you go, look, I'm going to leave you. Why is that? Well, do you know what? I wrote into a podcast and there's this TV presenter. And he said I should get out of this relationship. They'd be like, sorry, you took advice from
He didn't say that per se. What he said was, you are the star of your own film. Don't become a fly in a butcher's shop window.
Don't be a bit part player in your own movie, that's for sure.
And the fly thing, don't forget the fly thing.
The fly things are all...
How are you feeling about that now, a couple of weeks
good,
after?
Yeah, I think that the fly thing works well. We're hot off the back of doing a podcast on drugs, which has become quite a big thing on this podcast. We become the druggy podcast, the drug podcast. Anti-prohibition, pro-reform, that is where I stand for. That is what I stand for. Mark, do you stand for that too?
Yes, Tim, I toe the party line on that one.
Do you though? Do you genuinely stand?
Do you want me to? Do you know what I think?
Yeah.
Yes. No. Yes, I do. I agree. No, I do. I was sort of half. I was being half joking. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still want to know more about it, and I want to know the ins and outs of it, and I want to know. You touched on a little bit with Dr. Susie Gage, about whereabouts things should be sold from, what should definitely be legalized, what should be not legalized but not made illegal. You know, the difference between when you don't arrest someone for cannabis or something, or you do. You know, there's still some nuance to the argument. I think it's too easy to say
nothing should be illegal. Let's start with that. Nothing should be illegal. Some of it should be prescribed from doctors, maybe. Some of it should be only available from clinics. Obviously, it all should be regulated and treated a bit like alcohol. But the argument against not legalizing it is just, I mean, it just...
No, I wasn't saying that. Yeah, I was saying there's a nuance to whereabouts everything should be. And
yeah, but nothing should be illegal. As soon as you make something illegal, that's when the trouble starts. It shouldn't be. What I'm fascinated about with that, if you haven't listened to it, by the way, just listen to one podcast back. Say Why to Drugs is the book that Dr. Susie Gage wrote, but she's not pro or anti any of the drugs. She just gives the facts on them, and you know it's fascinating. But what I think is interesting is the fact that as a human being, or as human beings, we want to take drugs. There's something inside us that wants to, whether it's caffeine, tobacco, alcohol, whatever it is, or you know, heroin, we want to do it. And I'm not sure, it's just something we kind of want to do. Apparently animals do it as well. Some animals try and do it.
Yeah.
Even insects do it, don't they? Don't they sort of try and get fermented something or other and get themselves a bit giddy?
I wouldn't know about that.
Let me Google that.
Oh, here we go.
Let me Google that. I think insects do.
Time for a jingle, is it?
Yeah.
Tim is Googling.
the internet, looking for information to fill up his head.
This is going to be a really long article that you're going to have to get the bottom of. We're going to have to sit here for about 20 minutes while you find your glasses and read through it.
All right, hold on. Doing sex tape drugs is not working.
No, because, I didn't think it would.
Do you know why that doesn't work? It's because we keep giving insects drugs to see what they do. So,
do they take drugs? Yes. Do they want to? No.
Do insects in the wild take drugs? How about which animals take drugs? I'll try that one. Bear with me. Which animals take drugs? Animals on drugs. Wallabies on opium. Elephants on acid. Shrews on booze. What am I reading here? That's nonsense. Do animals like drugs and alcohol? Here we go. Let me just have a look at this. Bear with me as I read. You're right. It's a really long article.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother to.
Tales are told of wallabies getting high on poppy plants in Australia. Dogs reportedly become addicted to toxic substances. It's too much. I'm sorry, I can't be bothered. You can do your own research. But I have heard that some animals like to get. But humans love it. We love it, don't we? And when you go back through the history of time, people like doing it. And it's so bizarre that alcohol is our...
We had the guy, the history of alcohol, didn't we? Do you remember that? It got to be a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
That was brilliant. And he talked literally from the time when we were, you know, Neanderthal or whatever, however that's phrased.
He was the one who told us about animals getting high on drugs. That's possibly where I knew it was from.
Right,
yeah, because I read his book and that was it. Well done, Mark. We put two and two together there. But yeah, what is it about alcohol we love so much? I mean, as I said to Dr. Susie Gage, the big thing about reading her book is I read about all the other drugs. So I was thinking, okay, that's interesting. I don't, you know, fascinating stuff. But my addiction to alcohol is phenomenal. However, it's not an addiction as in I want to do it all the time. It's not like I'm an alcoholic. It's that I like going out and going for a beer.
You're
with
a
my
social
mates.
Captain.
I just love that feeling of going out. But I might just try and not do it for a year and see how that feels.
What? Not go out?
No, I'll go out. But
drink
non-alcoholic beer. I was out the other night. I was at when we're recording this. It was a couple of weeks ago, by the way. But I was out the other night and I was at the National Television Awards.
Oh, I know, because you love an awards show, don't you?
I don't get awards. I do get them because everybody wins out of it. But it's such a... We'll get onto that in a minute. But basically, I was there and I wasn't drinking. And so I was watching, and because it's free drink for all the celebrities and producers and everyone else involved in the
industry. Is that why you couldn't drink?
Exactly right.
Sorry.
So there's a lot of alcohol there, and a lot of people, and it's just funny watching people sort of flop around, and I think a lot of celebrities do it because they're in a room of other celebrities or, you know, TV people there, and also I think they're trying to get Dutch courage up in case they win the award. They've got to go on the stage or they've got to talk to that person or that person. I think it's that sort of environment.
Well, if I knew I had to go on stage, I would not drink beforehand.
No, but that environment where people are. I think they're quite nervous because they're in an unusual environment with all their peers and stuff like that. So there's a lot of alcohol going around. And when you're
talking to Piers, was Piers there?
Stone cold sober. Piers Morgan didn't turn up. It was a no-show from Piers because he says every year we're in the category, Sunday Brunch is in the same category as him, GMB, and This Morning, and I can't remember. Oh, BBC News, I think it is. And This Morning win every single year. So
what's the category?
Best. Don't know. Entertainment show, light entertainment show. I don't know. We can't be best daytime. I don't know. I really don't know. We're in the same category every year,
right.
But I never bother looking because we never win it. And then Antidek always win the best presenter. But it's the 19 years in a row Antidek won. They are really good though, in fairness. And I suppose This Morning's on 5 days a week. It's the way it works. But it seems so bizarre. I don't care that though, that system. It's like a voted for by the general public. What I care about is the speeches. And I don't even care about the speech, if I'm honest with you. But what I think's bizarre about the speeches is they deliver them like it's so important, this award. It's like it's an Oscar. It's like, wow, the thing about an Oscar, why Oscars are so important, is you can put value on your name. right? You win an Oscar.
But you can with these as well, to the advertisers you can, can't you? You can charge more if it's in a, you know, an award-winning show, I suppose. I suppose.
Do you?
I suppose. I suppose. I don't know. Okay,
I've won a few awards, Mark, but I've in the awards I've won, I've never once had a pay rise, so it's never had a kickback to me.
No, but it won't do.
I've never got offered any more work from
if you could win an award, what award would you like to win? What awards do you think...
What counts? I mean, obviously, heavyweight champion of the world or 100 metres fastest,
something like
strongest.
That, yeah. Not yeah. Like, you know.
Well, I'd like they're the ones, like sporting awards.
Oh,
but
okay.
if it was
World Cup,
yeah, I'd like to be the
That's not really an award, is it? That's
right.
A prize.
So if we're talking about awards, there's two sorts of awards. There's one where there's a panel like the Oscars, and there's one where there's voted for by the public. The problem with both of these, as I've said in a million times, is I've never voted for anything apart from politics. So, you know, I've never voted for an X Factor contestant or anything else. Or there's where you're on a panel. And if you're on a panel, there's often a lot of pretentious bullshit and signaling which goes on, because I've done a few of those, like virtue signaling going on. So it's kind of that there's those two type of awards. I think I prefer the panel way of doing it, because as I say, people like me don't vote for. Have you voted for anything in the past?
No.
So I don't know.
I think
a child
once made me vote on the phone for one of those X Factor things. Or, you know,
who'd you vote for? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
Jed Wood.
It was under duress.
what? If I do it, will you shut up? Was it one of those?
Yes.
I'll do it if you just shut
up. Yeah, it was.
Shut up. But
so you wouldn't want to win a Nobel Peace Prize? Say for this podcast.
Right.
You got the Nobel Peace Prize for
what?
For podcasting, you know, for changing the world for the better through your podcast.
Through my podcast.
Would you accept that?
Yeah, I think that would be quite a good one.
Cool.
I think the ultimate award, though, In if you're talking about entertainment style awards, the one I really like is the Mercury. They all turn up, they all perform, and then there's one winner. That's all. I like the idea of one winner. So it's everyone's album, just one winner. Not like best female album, best male album, best international album, best. It's just one winner, and I quite like that. But the Oscar is the ultimate, isn't it? Entertainment awards, it's the most famous, it's the biggest. And once you've won an Oscar, if you're in the film industry, it puts dollars on your name.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's...
It's also the most sort of, the most nonsense one, in the sense that people go out and they go on the Oscar trail promoting the fact that they've got an Oscar to try and win it.
Yeah.
They've been nominated to try and win it. So there's a lot of money that goes into winning the Oscar as well.
But the problem with the awards season is everyone puts out their best films around this time. So most of the year, all the films come out a bit crap. And then around this time, you get an abundance of great movies because they're all trying to win awards.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. So what have you had recently? You've had 1917, great movie. I saw Jojo Rabbit the other day. I really thoroughly enjoyed that. That's either gets 1 star or 5 stars, not in between. I liked it. I give it a 5 star. I really enjoyed that. What other films have been around recently? There's... I thought I went to see something else. Haven't you been to see something else recently?
Oh, Knives Out. Oh, man, that's good. It's all
Knives
right.
Out?
Knives Out, yeah. Rian Johnson, and it's got... I can't think of any of the names. They've all passed me by. Anyway, it's fantastic.
What's it about?
It's a sort of modern version of like an Agatha Christie whodunit.
Right.
It's set in an old house, and it is so much better than I'm making it sound. It's fantastic, yeah.
Just back to the drugs quickly.
Wow, tangent.
Yeah, it is. But I just thought to myself there, it's interesting because the thing I'm really frustrated about with the drugs world at the moment is the idea that someone, somewhere, well, people have decided that I can take one drug and I can't take the other. And that's the bit which is annoying me most at the moment. And they haven't even chosen the best one or the safest one. It's that I don't know, it's spurious reasons why alcohol is the drug that we're allowed to take and all the other ones we're not allowed to. And I think that's the thing which is annoying me most. I don't like being told what
we
to
copied
do.
We copied the prohibition model for drugs other than alcohol from America. Didn't we?
No, they forced us into doing it.
Right. And it was...
They told us we had to have prohibition on drugs. Yeah. We didn't want to do it.
Right.
According to the books I've read. So that they forced us into doing it. But they'd got rid of prohibition on alcohol because it wasn't working. And then they decided to do prohibition on drugs instead. So the whole thing is ludicrous. What I find frustrating is it's only 2 or 3 hours of every MP's time to sit down, read the facts. Let's say one working day of every MP's life, and they could change the way we perceive drugs in this country. Bearing in mind, countries like Switzerland have used old systems of ours to implement drugs, heroin, and make it safer for the people there. And they've got a great success rate of getting people off heroin because of using the British system. It would take a day. Why can't someone just go to all the MPs and say, just one day we're going to sit down and you're going to just read all the evidence, and then a day of your life, and then just listen to Dear Lovejoy podcast.
Yeah.
Four of them back to back, all about that. And then you will understand, and then we can look into it and we can have sensible conversations. But it's too easy for them at the moment to go, oh, drugs, terrible, lock them all up. It would save all that crap going on in our prisons. It would make the streets safer. It would make everything safer for our children who are clearly doing drugs, but they don't know what the hell they're getting. And so frustrating. I will keep going, though. I've decided it's one of the things that I want to keep going on, because I think it's an important thing to talk about and keep discussing it. Please let us know if you've got any opinions on it, or if you think I've got it wrong. I mean, I don't know how I could get it wrong.
No, possibly you couldn't have an opinion about anything.
But it'd be kind of nice if you could, let us know your thoughts on it. Usual address, dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. Just a quick word. I say this is, by the time you listen to this, a couple of weeks ago, but because I've got Mark sitting in front of me, who's a Liverpool fan. Very disappointed at Jurgen Klopp ruining the FA Cup, pulling out of the FA Cup, more or less saying he's not going to put a first team in. He's not even going to be bothered showing up. Mark, I hold you responsible for it. What do you make about
that? I back Klopp 100% on that, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I do as well.
I knew you would.
It's just bloody stupid. I mean, it's good for Shrews. It would be good for the FA Cup. Like Man United. They
20 years ago.
They buggered it up, the FA Cup, when they pulled out all those years ago. But it's a slow decline because the Champions League became so big. And European Cup used to be a knockout competition. Now it's the league, and it just swamps. The domestic cups in foreign countries aren't as big as, in Europe, aren't as big as the FA Cup was over here. And ours has just been, it's just deregulated, hasn't it? It's just gone. Yeah. Is that the right word?
No, not at all.
It's not the right word. It's been
demoted,
that's the word. It's been demoted down. The FA Cup is like the League Cup. The League Cup is like the auto windscreens or something. They don't mean much anymore, do they? So it's the league and the Champions League. So there you go. I think I agree with him. Mark, I've had an email in for you. This is from James, who said, I've just listened to the podcast and came across the section where you talk about running while breathing. I'm laughing there, Mark. I'm not laughing at the email. I'm laughing at you.
I know what's, Tim, I've read this and I've actually replied to James. So,
oh, have you?
I have.
I've led a cluck. To 5K, what does that mean? I've led a cluck to 5K group and used this tip for all beginners. I've led a cluck. What do you think that means? It's obviously a typo. My tip is to focus on the rhythm of your feet.
Well, let's explain. I have problems breathing while I'm running because I forget to breathe. And I just, why is that so funny?
You can't forget to breathe.
You can't forget to breathe, Tim.
You can't. Well, I suppose you can, because I suppose what happens to people when they're doing sort of like, you often hear PTs in gyms and stuff when people are doing a bench press or something, they go, breathe, remember to breathe. So I suppose that can happen. But you sprinting or you're just running? What are you doing?
I do both, don't I? I do a jog.
Oh, you're doing
I do hit. But hit. I'm breathing properly on that one. It's the jogging running thing that.
Do you do weights?
No, I do a little bit, but I really, really, really hate weights.
Right, why?
I hate it. I don't know why. Mm. It makes my head go hot.
Oh, you're such a knob. Anyway, my tip, says James, is to focus on the rhythm of your feet and counting them through. People focus on their breathing, or in your case, lack thereof. Focusing on the breathing can produce anxiety and stress on the breathing action. Is this what happens to you?
I think so, yeah.
Focus on the rhythm of your feet, then dictate the pace that you're running and should dictate the rate at which you breathe. It's probably quite a good idea, isn't it?
Yes. It makes a lot of sense.
Are you still... how far do you run?
It's only like a 5K in the morning. It's not a big deal, but it just makes me feel better when I go for a run and have a shower and I feel great after
that. How often do you do it?
Six days a week. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Do you feel fit?
No. I'm getting there.
Less is more. I think 5K is perfect. If you do too much, I keep reading stuff about people overtraining. Our bodies aren't made to overtrain. It's like less.
No.
Regular, but smaller amounts and stuff. So there you go. Are you still fasting?
Yes, I'm doing another 3-day fast coming up. I'm going to do one per month.
And this is water fast, literally nothing.
Yeah,
apart
for 3 days. Yeah,
right. Are you looking forward?
Well, 72 hours. So from lunchtime on Sunday to a lunchtime on Wednesday.
Are you looking forward to it?
I am. Yeah, I felt so good afterwards.
I wonder what the things are we've implemented since doing this. I'd still cold shower constantly.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, a friend of mine said to me the other day, "You still cold showering?" I had to think about it. I thought, yeah, I do every day. It's just something that's become just habit forming. You just, if you do something enough, long enough, you just sort of it becomes a habit. And I still do not every day, but I still do intermittent fasting. So it's not become like a religious thing for me.
No.
I do it most days, but if I go out and I'm eating, I won't go.
It doesn't matter. If you miss a day.
Yeah. And I'm not going, oh no, it's 8 o'clock, I've got to stop eating. Yeah. Or if I get up if someone invites me out for breakfast, I go and I have breakfast.
Yeah. So just change it around. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think, well, you're talking about what we've implemented since doing the podcast. I think what it's done for me is a slight change. And actually, I'd like to talk to someone about this on the podcast. Which
you
could
talk
good.
To me because I've got my own podcast and I give advice.
Shut up!
If you tell me, and I'll give you some advice.
I was saying we should talk to someone about critical thinking.
I can help you with that.
Oh my god! Shut up. So what it's done? What it's done is it's made me question all the things I was doing just as a matter of course and a matter of habit. Go and look at them. Go and look them up. Go, you know, I was trying all these different diets just because we were told that, you know, fat was really bad, certain fats were really bad for you, blah, 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 blah. And I've just read up, it's made me read more about stuff and look at what we just do on a regular basis, daily, and have a think about it.
There was an email not so long ago said they wanted me...
It's literally like a div wasn't speaking. But
there was an email which said they wanted me to interview you. Asking you questions. I wonder if I should ask you the questions that I ask everybody. How do you get on with those?
Can I have a week to think about them and we'll do it on another podcast? You give everyone else some time to think about it.
Let me whet my appetite with one. Can you recommend a book?
God, the last... No. No,
right, I'll,
no.
Give you, I'll give you time
I,
on that
I,
one.
I tell you, okay. Because I can't remember the names of the all those sorts
okay.
of things.
Okay, I'll give you time on that one.
Don't do this, it's going to be rubbish.
Is there something you've changed your mind about?
Yes.
What?
Pets and drugs.
Oh, what about pets?
You don't I used to think pets were ridiculous.
You used to think pets were ridiculous?
Yeah.
And?
Now I think cats are brilliant.
Okay, why?
Well, they're great. See, this is, I told you it was going to be rubbish.
Yeah, but why are they so good?
Because they are, they're just good company.
Okay. Yeah, I think cats are good pets as well, yeah. But
I used to think people who have pets were really strange.
Okay. Well, some pets are strange.
And then I had one in my flat, not without choice, but it was my flatmate's pet. They had to move it here, and I didn't have the choice but it was, you know, it was sort of thrust upon me and I grew to love the cat and now I'm...
Is that how it happened?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
It's my flatmate's cat.
Did you not have pets growing up?
No. Well, we all had asthma, so.
Pets and asthma? What's the connection?
Well, the hair and, you know, it's bad. What? It's allergic reactions and stuff.
Do you have allergic reactions to animals?
No. Rabbits, but not cats and dogs.
So, sorry, asthma and animals don't mix?
Well, no, they're not. It's not a great mix.
I didn't know that.
My brothers can't be around pets at all.
We've got an email come through, Mark.
See, I told you that would be shit.
Well,
give me a week to.
All right, a week to think about it. Next time we do it, do you remember what the questions are?
Yeah.
Life hacks. You got a life hack?
No, because I haven't had the time to think about it.
Here's our sponsors. A little note from our sponsors.
Turn on the cooker. Cooker spelled with a Q-U. Turn on the cooker and instantly make a brew. Turn on the cooker. Cooker spelled with a Q-U. Turn on the cooker. Hot water for vegetables too.
Yes, 100 degree boiling hot water straight from your kitchen tap. I love my cooker, make my brews every day. We've got hot water, we've got cold water, we've got boiling hot 100 degree hot water, we've got chilled filtered water, and we've got chilled sparkling filtered water. I love my cooker, absolutely love it. Thank you so much for them for sponsoring the podcast. Got this email through. It's really long.
Okay.
So we're going to give this a go and see how we get on. This comes from. Well, actually, let me just read it because he wants his name changed and he's got his own names. Right, dear Tim. Hope you are well. Please refer to me as Joey. Okay, let me have that. Joey. I remember. Can you help me? I have a problem. I need some advice. I grew up in a small town and for multiple reasons moved in and out of different friendship groups. When I got to the age of around 16, I suddenly found myself in a fantastic friendship group where everyone got on great and I truly believe we'd be mates forever. As we got older, a few of the group drifted off, but the core remained the same. That is a group of three of us became closer and travelled the world. Fast forward 10 years and our group are falling apart with wives, kids, etc. getting in the way. However, the core three of us still get on. One of the group, we will call him Clive. I love the fact that Joey is giving himself a cool name. One of the group, we'll call him Clive, is with a woman and is totally in love with her. We will call her Susie. If you write a letter to me, please make up the names of the people. He has recently moved far away to start a new life with her. This is a real shame as it means we never see him anymore. And I feel like I've lost a true best mate in my life. I see him from time to time, but Susie doesn't appear to like him being with the lads. And so limits his availability to the extent that when I visited him, I never get to have a discussion one-on-one. Clive told the other friend of ours, Core 3, recently that in the early stages of their relationship, Susie had told him of being physically attacked. However, the story doesn't add up. And when learning of the details, I am now certain that this is simply untrue. I know it is untrue, as the night she was attacked
What are we talking about, attacked here?
Oh, he hasn't mentioned. Right. She actually was spending the night with me. I saw her on a night out. I bumped into her at a pub and at kicking out time, it was very late and we drunkenly decided to walk home and surprise Clive. We got near his house and we decided it would be funny to sneak through his back door, which he often leaves open, and take his dog, Alphys. We made sure Alphys kept quiet and the idea was to take him round the front, ring the bell and stand there with Alphys. Looking back, it is not logical nor funny, and I don't really know what we wanted to achieve, but we were drunk and just did it. There you go. Off the back of talking about
this
drugs.
Is a weird email.
Yeah, it's quite trippy. We managed to get Alphys round the side of the house, but as we snook around, something must have spooked him as he nipped Susie on the finger and bolted across the road. We ran after him, but he must have gone in Red Patch, a park nearby. It was very dark and we spent around 2 hours calling it and searching for it, but eventually gave up. We never did go back to Clive's, as made the decision it would be better to come back and look again in the morning. This is nuts. Unfortunately, we have never found Alphys, and I pray he's okay and with a loving family. We have tried all the dog shelters in the area. We are scared to call the RSPCA or police, as it's been too long now, and we now look incriminating. Hold on. This was 2 years ago, wasn't it? Night bumped into... Told her physically being attacked. However, the story doesn't add up. Any details. What's the time scale of this? Because it says, how long ago did he move out? Mark, help me out here. Do you remember any of the story?
No,
I'm... He's recently moved far away. Limits and instead. Time of the other recently, early stage relationship. Julia's physically attacked. Okay. Susie had been texting me. Right, this is the story continues. Susie had been texting me in secret about this, and we agreed to not talk about it anymore. However, she then proceeded to make sexual advances. I don't know why I'm laughing, because it's quite horrific. However, she then proceeded to make sexual advances over text message to me, which I instantly shut down. Days after the incident, Clive told us about that his dog was missing and he was inconsolable. I've never had the courage to tell him about that night. What makes things worse is that night, Susie was supposed to go back to Clive's and obviously didn't, as we were searching. Clive instantly thought she had cheated on him. None of this adds up, by the way. I'm sorry. I'm just... Is this made up, do you think? I don't know. Anyway, Clive instantly thought she had cheated on him, so she used the attack lie as a cover. This has spiraled out of control, as Clive is now extremely sensitive about Susie and believes she was a victim of an attack. He is using it as excuses to cancel on so many social events, as apparently Susie now has anxiety to be left alone. Wow. Equally, she won't let him out without her there, probably as she is worried I will tell him what happened. Finally, her sexual text messages to me suggest she has intentions to be unfaithful to him. I now feel I have left it too long, as this was 2 years ago. Ah, that's the 2 years ago. Right, so 2 years ago. This is where it doesn't
add up. This is the strangest email we've ever had.
Right, so 2 years ago, we managed to get Alphys around the side of the house. We ran after him, but gone patched with the night. We never did go back to Clive's house and made the decision better. Unfortunately, we've never found Alphys, and I pray he's okay. It was 2 years ago. Of course he's not okay with a loving family. We've tried all the dog shelters in the area. We're scared to call the RSPCA police. So this is all over the place, as in the timeline. I'm struggling here as a detective with the timeline. I now feel I have left it too long, as this was 2 years ago. I want to come clean, but I know it looks so bad, it's almost comical. What makes it, And what makes it worse is I know Susie has created a horrific lie to cover this up, which is causing a clear issue in Clive's life, and is now using this as a way to keep Clive away from me and our friendship group. I can't speak to our friend. I mentioned about it, as he is quite sensitive, so I don't think he would deal with it well. I'm scared if I come clean, I will be disowned by the friendship group I so long craved. What would you do, Joey?
Flipping heck.
What a mess. What would I do?
Has he got proof that this attack didn't happen, and it didn't happen when he left, after he left her? Because that it's quite serious if you said you're attacked and people don't believe you. So he needs to get those facts straight first.
What would you do, Mark?
I just simply don't know. I don't think I'd let it have spiraled for 2 years for a start. I don't think I'd have stolen a dog as a joke.
Joey, you say it's a great friendship group, but it's not really, because, you know, all this stuff, if you were great friends, you would be
pass over the email.
If you had a great friendship group, I think you would have told him everything by now. I think a call to Susie might be worthwhile. Do you know what? I think it's one of those. It's either all in or all out. I think you either just get on with your life and find new friends and just sort of move on from it because it was so horrible.
This isn't textbook at all, isn't it? This is not something Graham Norton gets on Radio 2, is it?
This is quite a toughie. You either all in or all out. I'd speak to Susie about it first and say, Susie, what's going on? What the hell is... And then maybe you and Susie could sit down with him and say, look, we've got to come clean about his dog. Though, what's he going to do? He's never going to speak to you again once he finds out that you've lost his dog. I mean... I think
though, congratulations, Joey. It's the first time I've seen Lovejoy speechless on the podcast.
Joey, I'm just not sure I'm on your side. I like to be on the side of the person who's writing in, but I don't know how you can go. You know, surely the next day, or surely even that day, you knock on the door when you're drunk and you go, Clive, Jesus, it's such a mistake. I'm so sorry, but we were just messing about with Alphys. And fuck, he's gone into the park. Can you come and help us? Look, I'm so sorry. Yeah. And if Susie and him are dating, surely all three of you would have gone, let's go into the park and look, and you do it. That's what a good friendship group is. I don't know why you ran away.
I think, do you know what I would do? If it's causing you anxiety and worry, and you, it's the sort of thing you wake up, you know, way awake at night worrying about, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think come clean. I think suffer the consequences of your friendship with him. I think she's been lying to him. So let her suffer the consequences of that lie. You need to check that attack didn't happen. So don't go around banding that sort of, you know, kind of chat. If you don't know, that definitely didn't happen. I think come clean, because you'll feel a whole lot better. And if you lose your friend, you lose your friend. But you kind of lost him anyway, because you're not real friends at the moment because you're lying to him. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's starting to come a bit clearer, Joey. And I think the thing is, we've all feel sorry for Clive here. Clive's lost his dog. He's got a girlfriend lying to him. His mate's not being truth to him. And he's stuck in this relationship where the girlfriend's lied to him about being attacked. She's now lying to him about going out so he doesn't meet up with you. I think in fairness, though, it would be quite good to tell Susie you're contemplating doing it and give her the opportunity to
come clean.
Come clean.
Go to him together and come clean. You'll all feel better.
Susie's got more to lose than you. She loses a whole relationship. She's moved away. So I think maybe you talk to Susie and say, Susie, come on, we need to tell him what's going on here because this is ridiculous. And then get all it. I'm not sure I would tell him about the sexual texts. I don't have
anything to draw on from my own experience about this email.
So bizarre. Where is this village? Twisted village. It's like
League of Gentlemen.
League of Gentlemen. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. Are you local? God, this is tough, Joey. Tell us. Right, this is it. This is the plan. We feel sorry for Clive. We're going to tell Susie that we need to come clean. Offer Susie the opportunity to come clean to Clive. Then say to Clive, you know, then you can go and have a chat with Clive and say, we were pissed. We've lost your dog. Really sorry about it. I don't know what's happened with Susie, but, you know, I was with her that night, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then will Clive think that Joey had a bit of a...
No, because he's the one telling the truth.
Mm. Joey, mate, disaster. And I think this goes...
That's what he wanted to hear.
I think it goes to a lesson to everyone. Just the truth is always the best in absolutely every scenario. If you'd just gone and knocked on the door that night and said, shit, we were doing a joke where we're bringing a dog around, your dog's run off, come and help us look, then immediately you're not lying, you're telling the truth. The truth about everything is always the best ploy. Always the best idea to tell the truth and be truthful to yourself as well. And there you go. That's another thing with
hey, somebody at the door.
Somebody at the door. Okay. Well, I tell you what, that's kind of concluded the podcast for us. Mark, you might as well get the door. And I will say goodbye because I don't know who's at the door, but there you go. So that's it for this week's podcast. Please let us know if you've got anything to tell us, if you've got any good ideas for Joey as well. Use usual addresses, they'll come up at the end here, and we will see you all very soon. Or you'll hear from us very soon. For the time being, peace and love, Joy.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dear Lovejoy podcast, written and hosted by Tim Lovejoy and produced by Mark Augustin. If you would like to contact us, then our email address is dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. Or Tim is on Twitter @TimLovejoy and on Instagram @TimLovejoy_official.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.